Climate science, energy policy, poverty, and Christian faith. How do they connect? That's a new article by Dr. Cal Beissner of the Cornwall Alliance. He joins us now on Vocal Point. For Vocal Point, I'm Jerry Newcomb. Cal, thanks so much for joining us again.
Thanks, Jerry. It's always a pleasure.
Okay, this deals with the issue of global warming, which is now called climate change. What is this article all about, and why did you feel compelled to write it?
Well, it is about the fact that our Christian faith that teaches us that we must be concerned to protect the vulnerable from many different kinds of harm should lead us to a very, very careful, intelligent assessment of the claims about dangerous man-made global warming and what we should do about it, precisely because the prescription for dealing with it threatens great harm to the world's poor.
How so?
Well, basically, what we're being asked to do to try to reduce the tiny, tiny, tiny amount of global warming that might be traceable to human activity is to replace fossil fuels, coal, oil, and natural gas, as our primary energy sources with much more expensive, much less reliable energy sources like wind and solar and biofuels. The problem with those is that they simply are not as dense as fossil fuels. That is, there isn't as much energy in a given volume of wind or sunlight as there is in coal or oil and natural gas, and therefore it is much more expensive to harness that energy and get it into our electrical grids or get it into our cars to run them and so on. And they also are intermittent. It's not always windy, and the sun is not always shining, and therefore we can't always depend on having that power when we need it. That makes it very difficult to have the abundant, affordable, reliable energy that is indispensable to lifting and keeping any society out of poverty. And poverty, frankly, is a far greater threat to people around the world than anything related to climate. If you've got income even equivalent to, say, the bottom fifth of Americans, you can thrive in any climate anywhere in the world. If you are really poor, on the level of most people in sub-Saharan Africa or in many places in Asia and Latin America, you can't thrive in the very best habitats, in the very best climates.
Hmm.
And so we see it as important to oppose those policies.
Well, is it possible that some would-be do-gooders with positive intentions, or at least positive stated intentions, that the policies that they want to implement to fight global warming in the name of helping the poor might actually exacerbate poverty and make things much worse?
Yeah, that's exactly what we argue. It's what I've argued in this article, which appeared in the June issue of the World Commerce Report. What I've pointed out is that when you seek to replace fossil fuels with wind and solar and biofuels, you wind up driving up electricity prices in a way that that really hinders the rise out of poverty on the part of those who are poor and actually pushes many people back into poverty. There's been particular experience of that in the United Kingdom and in various countries in Europe. Take the United Kingdom as an example. The UK has had very strict policies to close down coal-fired power plants over the last decade and a half and replace them with wind and solar generators. And the result has been roughly a tripling of electricity prices there. And that has meant that more and more people on low and fixed incomes cannot afford to heat their homes adequately in the winter. The result of that has been that the typical rate of what are called excess winter deaths in the United Kingdom has risen from around 7,000 to 10,000 per year to, over the last 5 or 6 years, more like 30,000 to 35,000 per year. That's the kind of harm that comes even to comparatively wealthy people, you know, that's the way life is in the United Kingdom. And it's much worse for those in developing countries like sub-Saharan Africa, who have no access to electricity at all, and therefore use wood and dried dung as their primary cooking and heating fuels, causing millions of deaths every year from the smoke that's breathed, and hundreds of millions of respiratory illnesses that keep those people from working and lifting themselves out of poverty.
All right. Now, the other side would say, look, things are so urgent. At this point, it's a matter of our very survival. And for example, I watched a speech that the actor Leonardo DiCaprio gave before the United Nations, and he said something to that effect. You know, at this point, it's not even a matter of some people voluntarily choosing hybrids. It's beyond that. It's our very survival is at risk here if we don't fight this thing.
Yeah, that's a very widespread claim, and frankly, it's just simply based on completely faulty scientific evidence, or rather, we can say it this way, claims that are that have no basis in scientific evidence at all. The idea that we're experiencing or will be experiencing in the foreseeable future dangerous man-made global warming, as opposed to simply a little tiny bit of warming contributed by human activity, but it's not really dangerous. That idea is based on computer climate models. There are about 117 of these very, very sophisticated computer climate models used around the world. And the UN Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change and various national academies and the like depend on these things for their predictions about how much warming comes from more CO2. The problem with those models is that, on average, they predict 2 to 3 times as much warming as actually observed. 95% of them predict more warming than is observed, and if their errors were random, they would as frequently predict less warming as they do more warming. Now, that means that the errors are not random. They're driven by some sort of bias. And finally, none of them predicted the complete absence of statistically significant global warming from early 1997 to almost the end of 2015, a period very close to 19 years. What that means is that the models are wrong, and they provide no rational basis for any predictions about future temperature, and therefore also no rational basis about any policy having to do with it. And we also have to remember, the change in temperature that we're talking about here is really tiny, even according to the claims by the IPCC and other alarmists. There's only been about 8/10 to 1 degree Celsius of warming over the last whole century. You know, and they're bickering about differences in estimates of warming measured in 10ths of a degree Celsius. That's not enough to cause any major harm or even minor harm around the world.
Hmm. Now, go back to this point you made that since 1997, I think this is worth repeating. Since 1997, what's happened in the Earth as far as global warming?
Yeah. Well, from February 1997 through at least October and probably November of 2015, there was no statistically significant warming trend in global average temperature according to the most reliable databases we have, which are those gathered by satellites under NASA and those gathered by weather balloons around the world.
I never hear this. I never hear this except from you and from Professor Wanless, whom you introduced me, and he's
right
with Cornell. But you don't hear this on NBC or CBS or, you know, PBS or whatever.
Yeah, you have to dig beyond the headlines and beyond the major media to the specialists in these things. But that is the case. Now, some people will say, oh, but, you know, hey, we saw tremendous warming in the first part of 2016. February, March, April, May, they were all the warmest for each of those months on record. Well, the record goes back only to 1979, the so-called satellite period. But besides that, the amount by which they were warmer than their next warmest months was a small fraction of a degree. And what's most important, the reason for that warmth was not a long-term trend in global warming, but rather an unusually powerful El Nino, that is the southern oscillation in the Pacific Ocean, that drove rapid increase in global average temperature. Now, that has also fallen off rapidly. As a matter of fact, it turns out that May and June saw the most rapid decline in global average temperature, the second most rapid decline in global average temperature that we've had during the satellite period. And it looks like July is going to follow the same trend, and we're headed into a La Nina. So it's actually possible that we're going to wind up with significant cooling over the next few months. That doesn't mean that there is a long-term global cooling trend started either. These are brief outbreaks of warming and cooling because of this southern Pacific oscillation, and they're not a long-term trend. I think we can probably predict that by the end of this year, again, there will have been no long-term warming trend from early 1997 until that time, which is getting near on to 20 years.
We're talking right now with Dr. Cal Beissner. A website would be cornwallalliance.org. Is that right?
That is correct.
Okay.
And also, Where the Grass is Greener, themovie.com. That's where we promote our new documentary movie, Where the Grass is Greener, Biblical Stewardship versus Climate Alarmism.
Huh. Okay, now, 97% of the scientists believe in global warming. We are told that man-made global warming is a serious crisis. We must address it. 97%. Is that accurate?
Well, the way you first said it, 97% believe in global warming, I'd have said, yep, I'm part of the 97% too. When you say that it's man-made and really dangerous and we need to do something about it, whoa, the percentage drops off like crazy. These claims get bandied around a great deal in a variety of different studies, not very well done, have concluded that 97% of climate scientists believe in global warming. Well, they don't tend to get very specific about what that really means. What it really means in these studies is that they believe that human activity and the emission of greenhouse gases like carbon dioxide has contributed significantly to the warming that has occurred since about 1850. But that doesn't mean that these scientists all agree that human activity has been the primary driver of that warming. And it doesn't mean that they think that the warming is dangerous or is going to become dangerous. And it doesn't mean that they think that that we need to be spending trillions of dollars to completely revamp the world's energy systems in order to reduce the warming.
Well, do we have an exact statistic or even an approximate statistic of what percentage of scientists would believe that there's a serious problem of global warming? If unaddressed, it will, you know, as I quoted Leonardo DiCaprio, it will literally imperil our very survival.
Yeah, I would not know of any scientists who believe that the warming driven by human activity is going to imperil our very survival.
Really? No, not one?
There are plenty of environmental activists who say things like that. People like Leonardo DiCaprio who say things like that, but no climate scientists that I know of, and I read in this field every single day and have been doing so for well over a decade, none of them would say anything like that. What we can say is that probably the two most reliable surveys, one done by the American Meteorological American Meteorological Association, and another done by a couple of Dutch scientists a couple of years ago. According to those two, probably there's a consensus that human activity was the major driver of warming over the last 50 or 60 years or so. There's a consensus of perhaps 52 to 60% that say that. but none of them go on to add the stuff about
survival,
you know, tremendous danger and survival or anything like that.
Well, you know, that is absolutely fascinating. So there's a lot of hysteria then on this whole subject, and we're basically out of time, but people can read more at cornwallalliance.org. And what was the name of the website of the film?
Now, the film is Where the Grass is Greener, Biblical Stewardship versus Climate Alarmism, and that is at wherethegrassisgreenerthemovie.com.
Wherethegrassisgreenerthemovie.com. Cal Beiser, always a pleasure. God bless you.
God bless you.
All right, bye-bye.